You rely on this podcast to stay informed and connected with your local community, and we rely on you. Without listener support, this show simply wouldn't exist. Be a part of the team that makes this show possible by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute. Donate at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thank you.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Schools around the region are dealing with serious budget shortfalls. The North Shore School District says it's $26 million in the red. Seattle Public Schools is reporting a more than $100 million gap in funding. Making up that money is no easy task, and in many cases, the scarcity means cuts to programs students and parents hold dear, like AP or music. Here's Miller Sherling, a school nurse in Seattle and a parent, who spoke at last week's board meeting.
I understand that our funding isn't infinite, but the worker bees on the ground, and I'm a worker bee, and the parents at home, and I'm a parent at home, or family members at home, we need to be part of a collaborative process to develop these budgets under constrained situations with limits. We need to help make the decisions.
Here to break down where the shortfalls are coming from and where schools are searching for answers is KUOW education reporter Sammy West. Sammy, welcome back to Soundside, and I'm feeling what you said to me last year, which is I'm on the school budget beat these days. Because
yes.
This is serious stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm back, baby.
You're back.
That's all I'm doing now. But thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. Sammy, you tuned into Seattle school board meeting last week to hear more about how budget shortfalls are affecting Seattle schools. Tell me how it went.
Yeah. So the Seattle school board meeting last week was pretty intense. And I think it's, like you said, a sign that we're officially back in that painful school budget season, just as we saw last year. The budget wasn't even really on the agenda, but students, parents, district staff showed up in numbers, carrying signs and fighting against potential cuts, even before we really know what they are yet. The school board didn't really address the concerns brought forward, but the board is expected to get an update from district officials about the budget process at its next meeting on Wednesday. So all of this is really starting to ramp up, and the district faces a pretty significant shortfall. It's nearly $105 million, and that's only a little bit less than what the district had last year. And their solution last year was to dip into the rainy day fund. And now that that's pretty much drained, you know, these cuts are going to be pretty severe, especially since they've decided not to close schools this year.
So yet to be seen what the proposals will be for the kind of savings that Seattle Public Schools needs, but significantly more serious now that that rainy day fund is depleted, as you're saying, Sammy. Let's turn to North Shore Schools, which just announced that it's running into this $26 million budget shortfall. And King 5 has reported that they're planning to cut the fifth grade band and orchestra programs at North Shore Public Schools. The school district estimates say that that will save about $780,000. Is this kind of solution at North Shore par for the course? I mean, what kinds of cost-cutting suggestions are you seeing from schools to try to keep up with these growing shortfalls?
Unfortunately, it is pretty par for the course. I mean, schools are looking for, you know, what optional things can we cut? Because just, you know, the cost of running schools, keeping things going, that alone is pretty expensive. So they have to look at programs like these, unfortunately, to make those cuts. So I think this is going to be pretty common going forward. And, you know, we remember last year, talk about that in Shoreline was huge. And actually, because of the public's response, they ended up going a different way. But this year, you know, with a lot of those other options depleted, I'm not sure that that's going to happen again.
The low-hanging fruit is already out of the way after 2023. Let's just review again. Why are schools facing these budget shortfalls? What's going on?
Well, part of the situation is chronic underfunding, schools say, from the state and federal governments. Also, in the wake of the pandemic, we're kind of winding down on pandemic relief funds. So schools are going to be missing out on that money. And of course, the biggest piece of it all is declining enrollment. And that is the result of declining birth rates, but also it's the result of families making different decisions about where they want to send their kids to school, especially after the pandemic. You know, a lot more parents are saying maybe homeschooling would be a better option for my kids. Maybe private schools. You know, they switched during the pandemic when school was all virtual in so many public schools, and now they're settled in and they like it and they stay. So declining enrollment is a huge, huge piece of that puzzle.
Do we know how many kids and parents have made that choice to leave public schools in order to go to a charter school, a private school, homeschool?
It's really hard to say. Unfortunately, that data isn't tracked super well. So
the districts don't track it?
They do a little bit. So school districts, especially I've heard of Seattle and Bellevue, they have said in the past that they don't ask families, you know, when they're unenrolling their children, where they're going, because families aren't obligated to give them that information. So they don't really have that data to share. There was some movement in the state legislature to better track that data, but I need to check in on where that landed.
So it seems like this declining enrollment situation, there's a combination of things happening. There is changing demographic data, changing birth rate numbers. There's also what happened during the pandemic and people just increasingly making different choices for their families. Is there any indication that this is going to improve for districts anytime soon?
Not really. I think it's kind of been up to individual districts to sort of market themselves and try to get students back. Actually, in Bellevue, that was a huge conversation they had when discussing whether they needed to close more schools in the coming years. They were considering closing middle schools, and they actually decided they didn't need to, in part because they actually had a slight increase in enrollment over the last year, and they credited that with, you know, a very deliberate marketing plan to get people back. So it's kind of up to districts, but it's unclear, you know, whether families are just going to start to trickle back on their own.
Wow. So Bellevue opened the district to people who don't actually live within district boundaries and kind of did a push to bring people in. And it sounds like it worked. I know Mercer Island Schools was going to hold a, you know, information night on a similar plan. Bill Radke, who's lives in the Mercer Island area, reminded us that back in 2008, Mercer Island did open its borders and kind of market itself in order to deal with the declining enrollment back then. So these things come in waves, you know, Sammy. It's really interesting to see a lot of what's old is new again here as we're facing another demographic challenge for local schools. So let's get back to these cuts that you've been following. What do these cuts mean for programs that are already known to face funding challenges? I'm thinking about special education, for example.
Yeah, so here in Washington, there's a cap on how much money the state will give schools to provide special education services. The state assumes that a school district will serve about 15% of their students will need special education services. Well, if there are more students in that district that need those services, then the school district is having to pull that funding, you know, out of their general fund to cover it, because federal law says, you know, you must provide these services to kids, as they should. But it's a really tough situation for districts because they're essentially robbing Peter to pay Paul. And that results in, you know, bigger class sizes, those program reductions that we were talking about before for all kids. So it's a really big struggle. There was movement in the legislature to increase the cap to 16%, so 1%. That will help schools if Governor Jay Inslee signs it into law. I'm assuming he will. But it's still
it's a pretty slim increase.
Right, right. So that's still a huge expense that schools incur. And, you know, there's just not really a solution for that.
Yeah, once the state funding that's allocated by law is exhausted, as you said, districts are responsible for the overflow.
And you kind of wonder, you know, are they going to cut corners then? Because, you know, they're trying to spend as less money as they possibly can.
Sure.
And so, yeah, they might be like doing the bare minimum. But what about, you know, a kid who's maybe has not been identified as needing special education services? Maybe a school district will quietly sort of look away because, you know, we can't afford that.
Yeah, there's no more room in these programs. So do you really want to identify more kids who might benefit from them? I mean, that's a very interesting question that we should continue following for another day. Sammy, the band and orchestra example for North Shore's fifth graders is particularly frustrating for parents, I think. I mean, these are valuable extracurriculars that students really get attached to. And many of them, you know, we hear from people that say a band program, a sport program, whatever they might be, they're one of the reasons your kid gets up in the morning to go to school, you know, and is excited to go to school. What are you hearing from students and parents about this?
They're really frustrated. And I, you know, I can't blame them, you know, especially as schools face challenges with getting attendance back up after the pandemic. You know, that is what draws kids to school. So they're really, really frustrated. And I guess one thing that this makes me think of, I'd actually never heard it put this way, but one of the candidates for two open spots on the Seattle School Board called the budget situation sort of a Sophie's choice, because you really can't win no matter what you choose. Someone is going to be hurt by whatever program is cut or if class sizes are bigger. So it's a really tough situation for everybody.
Yeah. So there's this big Seattle Public Schools Board meeting coming up next week, next Wednesday on the 20th. Of March. Any preview on what we'll hear from that meeting? I mean, they're going to address the deficit that Seattle Schools is dealing with, and what kind of potentially tough announcement might be made there?
We're not really sure yet. Basically, what I know is that Superintendent Brent Jones is going to be sharing a status update with the board on how he's trying to patch up that $105 million budget shortfall. But preliminarily, what I've kind of been hearing sounds like class sizes are going to be larger, and also principals will have less money to work with for their individual school. Actually, one principal at McClure Middle School was talking about how they didn't quite understand why the district was doing it this way, how they're making these reductions. It's a uniform cut to each grade level, depending on what level. So for elementary schools, it's $5,000 per grade band. That's what's being cut. $25,000 per grade band for middle school, $45,000 for high schools. And it doesn't matter how big the school is. So for example, McClure Middle School is about half the size of a typical middle school in Seattle, I guess. So this is hitting them really hard. They're going to go from having $75,000 last year to $50,000 this year. They really want to hire some more staff, but $50,000 isn't even enough to cover one position. Plus, they need to use those funds to buy supplies and other things that, you know, you need to operate a school.
Yeah, there's basic overhead involved here.
Right. And so this is going to be a really, really tough year. It's not going to be pretty, whatever we hear March 20th, and there will be more to come.
Anything else you're keeping an eye on, Sammy, as this unfolds? I mean, these very difficult decisions at school boards across the region.
Yeah, I mean, what I keep thinking, you know, with schools discussing making these big cuts to things like the arts, extracurriculars that people love and hold so dearly, like you said before, I wonder if that is almost going to make things worse for them in terms of declining enrollment. You know, if I'm a parent who has the resources to maybe, you know, send my kid to a private school or open enroll them to a different district that does have these things, that could make things worse for their home district, where they're already struggling to keep the lights on because of declining enrollment, and then they're going to lose more. So I just wonder how that's going to play out in the coming years.
Yeah, there could be kind of like a doom spiral for attendance in some schools. Sammy West, thank you so much. I know you've been on this budget beat since you started here at KUOW. It's such vital reporting, and we really appreciate your work. Thank you.
Thanks, Libby.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.